Let's see if that'll work. Very good. Thank you, Mike. Thank you very much. I want to share a word with you on a subject, and I think I'm a little too loud, Mike, so just pull me down a little bit. You know, one of the constant themes of the Bible and of the Christian walk is right behind me, that cross behind me. If it represents anything, it represents forgiveness. Forgiveness. We have to learn how to walk forgiven. We have to learn how to forgive ourselves. And we have to learn how to forgive others the Jesus kind of a way. So tonight, I'm going to use verses that we use all the time, but this message has just been on my heart for a couple, 3 weeks. I'm going to preach the purpose, the procedure, and the power of forgiveness. There's so much we can say about it. The church should constantly be reminded to walk in the power of forgiveness, both receiving from God and also giving to others, walking in forgiveness, giving people forgiveness. If we could turn to Mark 11, chapter 25 and verse 26, the purpose, the procedure, and the power of forgiveness. And the word says this, "And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." Father, let the words of eternal life come out of me, bringing hope and power and victory in everyone through these few Bible verses. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a key verse. This is what we need to see. I think I walk in being forgiven every day and forgiving others every day. Now, the word tells us something here. One of the things that we can say about this verse is the purpose of this verse is so that you can be forgiven. We won't be forgiven, and the longer we want to take, now, and we're going to see that becomes a problem. In just a few minutes, I'm going to show you how that can become a problem. We have to forgive people. And not only that, we have to walk in God's forgiveness, and we have to let other people forgive us. So that means we have to seek forgiveness. Sometimes we have to tell people, "Listen, I've done you wrong, and I'm sorry, and I was wrong when I did that, and will you forgive me?" You know, if we did that every time that we knew that we messed up, our batting average for not messing up would grow. See, if we ever had to fix and humble ourselves for what we've done to others, somebody help me here now. I'm preaching pretty good tonight. Anybody. I'll take it from anybody. Anybody help me. See, if we could see that. You know, sometimes it's like some people can't see what they've done to others. They can only see what others have done to them. Or some people are the exact opposite way. And what we have to do is just get a balance there. We just have to understand the power of forgiveness. And I'm preaching the purpose, the procedure, and the power of forgiveness is astronomical. My goodness. And when you go to others and you say, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. Would you forgive me?" I've shared this before. People have told me, I've asked them, "Have I done something?" They say, "Yeah, you have." And then I've let them speak. In speaking, I didn't totally agree with everything they said, but you know what? I started doing this here, and I love it. I just said, "Well, you know, I was wrong when I did that. Would you forgive me?" You know what happens? Heaven comes down when there's that kind of language. When we realize the power. There is a power to true biblical forgiveness. And it's not a hard thing. It's a simple, it's just saying, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? You know, when you tell somebody you were wrong and you ask them for forgiveness, I have not been held up over that. What I mean is when I do that, people forgive. And you know, whenever you get that to happen, it's like having a little box and letting Jesus out. And it's a wonderful thing. And when people come to you and they say, I'm sorry, I did you wrong. You know, the word says if you have aught against somebody, forgive them. But it also says if somebody has messed with you and you go to them and you ask them, you say, hey, I did you wrong. That's a powerful thing when you can say that. There's power in that. There's power in that for 10-year-olds, 15-year-olds, and everybody in between, 20 years old, and everybody. When that power, we should walk continually in forgiveness, willing to give forgiveness, willing to receive and forgive others, and willing to admit when we're wrong. Or if somebody, you know what? What's the harm? If somebody feels like they've wronged you, and if you said, you know, I just want you to forgive me. I'm sorry. But I want you, you might want to say something like, but that's not was my intention. You know, there's a power to doing that. And I have watched people wait and walk and live in unforgiveness for years and years and years. And that is very unprofitable for you, if that's you. So, as we forgive others, first of all, the power of that, the purpose of it is we will be forgiven. You know, that is such an important part because that cross behind me is the most important part. It sets us apart. There aren't two names given under heaven. There's not four names. There's not ten names. There's only one name under heaven given to men by which we can be saved, delivered, and healed. It's the name of Jesus. There is no other name. That's just the truth, the wonderful truth of who we're following. This ain't religion. This is an experience with the Creator. This has nothing to do with religion. This has to do with a relationship. And what am I saying? You can be any flavor of the living religion you want to, as long as Christ is in the center of your life, as long as Christ is in the center of your church. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. So many wonderful things happen when we forgive others, when we are open to, if we've even heard that somebody said, well, they done me wrong. Hey, won't you play another somebody's done somebody wrong song so I can sing along? Hey, it's about forgiveness. This world is in need of forgiveness. We need to give it, receive it, take it, do it, and be a part of it every day that you can see that. I ask very regularly, Millie and I together, Lord, help us to walk into the divine nature of Jesus. Help us to walk into the divine nature of Christ. Well, his very essence is forgiveness. For God so loved the whole wide world that he gave his only begotten son that who would ever believe on him would not perish but receive eternal life. We have to, and people that you know are walking and they're not able to forgive, pray for them. It's usually not good to say anything to, that's not going to help anything. Unless they bring the conversation up, just help them. Help them. Pray for them. How many of you have found out there's power in prayer? Yes, there's power in praying. You can change the world around you with prayer. You have not, James chapter 4, because you ask not. Or you have not and you don't receive because you pray amiss, trying to heap things on your flesh. It's always got to be your way. It's always got to be what you want. It should be your way sometime. Sometime we should just let other people have their way. It's what Christ would do. It's the Jesus thing to do. Oh, I wish I'd attended church when I was 5 years old, 10 years old, 15 years old. I didn't. I attended the street gangs and all manner of evil, mean things that we did. I learned how to steal cars when I was, well, I don't even want to talk about that with these kids. I don't want to give anybody any ideas. So forgive if you have aught against any. My Uncle Don used to say that. I'm going to stop talking right now. No, Uncle Don, tell us more. Me and Ricky would say to him. My cousin, Rick, just died last Wednesday. I was so taken by that. One of my little pups, I named him Ricky, and I'm going to keep him. But we have to, if you're a believer, this is touching your heart because it's the truth. You know you don't have to look very, very far before somehow forgiveness is a part of your day somewhere. Am I right? Yes. Well, let's moving right along. Forgiven is the act of setting people free. And let us create man in our image after our likeness, Genesis 1:26, and let him have dominion. Let mankind have dominion. And you know what? We can use what God has given us to hurt others. And I'm just going to wet your whistle a little bit and show you what happens when you refuse to forgive somebody. Not just what it does to you. Let's look at what it does to them. You can hold people captive. That's why Jesus made such a big deal about this. To be smug and say, well, I'm just not going to talk to him no more. Well, you know what? Don't talk to him no more, but forgive him for God's sake. And we're going to try to touch on how to do that, how to forgive, why to forgive. The purpose, the procedure, and the power of forgiveness is what I'm sharing tonight. If you would, please go with me to Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26 in the New Living Translation of the Bible. One day, while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law were sitting nearby. It seemed that these men showed up from every village in all of Galilee, Judea, as well as from Jerusalem. And the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. Some men carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. You know what? We're in the wrong place, I think. Luke chapter 5, verses 17. Well, that's the place okay. And they tried to take him inside, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up to the roof and took some tiles, and they lowered the sick man, okay? And you know what? I put this in the wrong place. What I'm looking for is another series of verses where the Pharisees have taken a woman caught in the act of adultery. Now, does that get into that later on before that verse is over in there down to 26? Let's see what 26 is. Yeah, I apologize. John 8, 3 through 11. Let's try that. Oh, something beautiful, something good. The Alzheimer Express is trying to get me like I know it never should. All right, I'll tell you what, we're just going to go there. You're aware that those verses are in there.
Yeah.
Yes. And as he was speaking, teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees brought him a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. And the law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? And they were trying to trap him into saying something that they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. And they kept demanding an answer, so he stood up and said again, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." See, this is what we're getting to. We should be cordial to forgiveness, both to give it and to receive it, because we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's one man that never sinned, and he was part God. That was Jesus himself. And when the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest. And Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. And then Jesus stood up and again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers?" See, this is the thing that heaven and that cross is trying to get rid of. All of the accusers, which starts with Satan himself, who is the accuser of the people of God. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." That is what communion is for. It's when you'd have a private examination between you and God, and if there's something that shouldn't be there, you confess it to the Lord. You don't have to confess it to anybody else. Confess it to the Lord, and he will forgive you. He will help you. And when that happens, you are free. You are open to receive the blessings of God. We're going to do that in just a moment before this service is over. I'm going to move along here. Give me Psalm 130, verse 3 in the New Living Translation. I'm just going to peel through these. Thank you, Kelly, for finding for that. Did that for me. Oh, Lord. Now, look here. If you kept a record of our sins, who, oh, Lord, could ever survive? Now, let me tell you something. When you keep a record of sins against somebody else and how they sinned against you, you're holding them back in the spirit world. That's why the Lord said this. What does Mark 11, 25 and 26 mean? It means this: you better forgive. If ever he was pointing his finger at us, it wasn't because of what we did, unless it was unforgiving. You better forgive. Because if you don't, you will not be forgiven. Because if I forgive you, even when you won't forgive others, you won't learn this lesson that God wants to teach us. And it is a bitter pill. As a young man full of resentments toward a lot of people, I had to grow in it. I had to begin to understand it. If he kept the record of my sins, if he kept a record of your sins, and you know, some of us, we can go back 15 years. We can go back 50 years. We can say, "Oh, you don't know what they did to me." Or we can get out our violin and we can just go over it and over it and over it, what they did to us. See, that's not good. That does harm to that cross right there. And everybody that's going to heaven is under the power of that cross. Everyone. Moving right along, let's go to Isaiah 43 and verse 25 in the King James translation of the Bible. "I, even I, am he that blots out thy transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember their sins." Now, I want you to see this. One of the reasons that you should forgive is for your own sake. Because you become a mess when you don't. When you don't forgive. I've watched people that had trouble with this and prayed for them and prayed for them. "For my own sake, I'm not going to remember your sins." God says, "For my sake, I'm not going to remember your sins. I'm not going to remember your sins." I'm talking about the purpose, procedure, and power of forgiveness. Now, the purpose, the reason to forgive, one of the reasons is for your own sake. For your own sake. Two things. You won't be forgiven if you don't forgive others. Number one, you won't sleep good at night, and you'll be thinking about these things over and over and over and over, and it will torment you. And then there's another key in here. It says, here's part of the key. I'm preaching the purpose, procedure, and power. The purpose, procedure, procedure, procedure. How do I forgive? I will not remember their sins anymore. That's how I'm going to start to forgive. That's part of forgiving. I'm not going to remember their sins. Pastor Kelly preached that just a message or two ago. You have got to stop talking about it. And then you need to do what Corinthians 10 says. You need to take authority of your thought life. The dumbest thing, one of the dumbest things I've heard as a person is, well, I can't help who I fall in love with. Well, you're destined for failure. Because, see, if you're going to fall in love with somebody that where the word says don't be unevenly yoked, where the word's with non-believers, and you're going to marry, well, they'll change. Not necessarily. I'm forgiving Millie right now. Look at that. How do I forgive? One of the things you do is you stop remembering and stop telling your best friend or anybody on the street about what they did to you. You stop that. You stop telling your husband. You stop telling your wife. You stop that in the name of Jesus. You take every thought captive and you make every thought obedient to Christ, who doesn't speak of these things over and over again. What happens? For my own sake, I'm going to forgive. For God's sake, I'm going to forgive. And for their sake, because if you hold somebody captive, you have the power. You're made in the image of God. And you have the power to mess somebody's life up by unforgiveness. And it's high time you understand what you're doing when you're not forgiving somebody. You must forgive. And it must not take you years. It must not take you months. You have to learn how to forgive immediately in the name of Jesus. Can I get an amen anywhere in this room? Amen. 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 I'm preaching the power, the purpose, and the procedure of forgiveness. And this ain't covering this. It ain't beginning to. What it's giving you is a highlight. Look with me, please, at Isaiah 43:25 in the New Living Translation. All we're going to do is change the translation. We're going to look at that verse again. The NLT, Isaiah 43:25. NLT. NLT. There it is. Now, that's not the verse. Isaiah 43, verse 25. Isaiah 43, 25, NLT. Now, I want you to see this. Here's the New Living Translation, which is a good translation. I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake and will never, listen to this, I will never think of them again. And I've watched people for years walk in unforgiveness. It's unprofitable. You hold somebody else up, you hold yourself up, you grieve the Holy Spirit when we walk in unforgiveness. Whatever they did to you, if something is so bad that you're having trouble getting it out of your mind, call that person up. So we have to get together. We have to talk. Because there's something that's, I have a problem with you. And I want to tell you what it is. And if they won't hear you, then you take somebody with you. And if they won't hear them, then you tell it to the church. See, these are the kind of church services we need to have. If we've got unforgiveness in this place amongst, we can't let that stay here if we want to be blessed. We've got to do something about that. For my own sake, for my own sake, I will never think of them again. I will never think, I am giving you something to try to do. Try not thinking about that favorite thing that you're holding over somebody's head. Amen? What can you do if it's never preached? I'm preaching it. I'm preaching it. I mean everything I say here. Because my boss, my Savior, my God, He means it. It's hurting. We have the power to hurt others the same way God does. All right, let's move along to Colossians 1, 13 and 14, King James. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated, which means moved us, into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You know how misguided it is to receive forgiveness from God and then to hold somebody captive? It is the wrong thing to do. Let's just get that out in the open. Is anybody going to hold that against me? That's just not the thing to do. We have got to forgive people. And if we love our friends that are believers and we hear them going on and going on about somebody, you should stop and say, you know what, let's just forgive them right now, because the Bible says if we won't forgive them, God won't forgive us. That's a tall order. See, it's not like we're sitting here and bless God, we had a nice day, we had a wonderful service, we had a nice meal at the church, and there's nothing left to do. No, there's stuff to do here. There's things we can do to have a better, more victorious life. Amen? I'm preaching the purpose, the procedure, and the power of forgiveness. I'm trying to get you a look at all the different ways about forgiveness in your life. And some people just cannot forgive themselves. They think they're, you know what that means when you can't forgive yourself? You think you've got something greater than the cross. And I don't believe that about you, and I don't believe it about me. I'm going to go on, because that's what I was made to do. The Word says on a person's life, his gifts and callings are without repentance. He doesn't take them away. You just got to go on. And to go on, you got to learn how to live with what you did and not do it again. Can I get an amen? Amen. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. There ain't no redemption without the blood of Jesus. And every communion service is about the blood. It's about the cross. It's about the Savior. It's about the name. And it sure is about forgiveness. Both ways, all ways that it can happen. And you know what? I've met people that one person they couldn't forgive was their self, and that's not good. You have to get over that. 1 John 1:9, King James Version. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I was skinny and I had black hair. It was about down to here when I learned this verse. And I learned to confess my sins. And I began to learn. It took one of the hardest things for me to learn was how to forgive others. It wasn't easy for me. It wasn't easy. I wanted God to get them. God away with forgiving them. For God's sake, Lord, get them. Because if you love me, get them. That's not right. That's not what we need to do. If we confess our sins, I'm going to ask you in just a minute or two, to make an altar somewhere in this building that you can talk to Jesus by and confess your sins to Him. If there's something that's on there, We don't need 30 confessions of 30. What we need is that, is there something in your life that you know shouldn't be there? It's the top of the list, and you're ready to talk to the Lord about that tonight? Maybe you don't have anything to talk to the Lord about tonight. I don't know. I don't believe that we have to every week. I believe sometimes we're good. We take care of this sometime in the week. So the purpose of forgiveness is to be cleansed from it. See, God doesn't just forgive. When you do things right, He can cleanse you. He can wash you from it. Kelly just spoke recently about a cut on her hand, and her mother grabbed that, squeezed it, and she washed fire out of that thing. That's what God will do for you. And let me tell you something, that's what you want. Washing means that it won't be as easy for the devil to get you into that next time. Amen? How many of you still love me? I know that. All right. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. That means He is faithful and He has a legal right to forgive you if you just confess to Him in a moment of truth with God. And then what happens then? He begins to cleanse you. All of a sudden, you say, well, by gosh, I don't think I like that sin as much as I did last week. And after a while, you know, you say, I'm going to try to go a week without doing that. I'm going to try to go a month with it, and He'll take you to deliverance from it, whatever it is. Last place tonight, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. And I'm going to share something profound with you. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with your wife according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together, being heirs together. The wife is not less in the spirit than the husband. They're heirs together, equal schmequals. Being heirs together of the grace of life, it's saying here, man, if you've got a bad marriage and you're having fights and you just can't get anywhere, let me tell you something. The worst thing that happens is your prayers are going to be hindered. And if you won't forgive somebody, mark it down. You're going to have problems. Your prayers are going to be hindered. You'll be wondering, why is it aren't I getting this healing? Your prayers are being hindered. Why? If we walk in unforgiveness. Well, I just can't seem to get that breakthrough that I want. Check it out tonight. And from now on, think about the words that I just said to you. Because God wants to help us. And I'm preaching this, and I need it maybe more than anybody in this room. I need it just as much as anybody in this room. I don't want my prayers to be hindered. When I pray for something and it doesn't happen, I want to know why. I want to know what I did, not what God did or what somebody else did. Because if it's because of something that somebody else did, I have no power over it. See, I've got power over my life. Because you know what? I'm not going to be a baby about it. I'm not going to just poor little me, God. I'm not going to do that to God. I'm going to get over stuff. I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to ask you if you'd make an altar right now somewhere in this building.